This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. This week's message is Trusting the Lord and was offered by Pastor Tracy Lamont. It was recorded on September 15th, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
So good to be with you all this morning.
You look good.
I see some familiar faces I haven't seen in a while.
Oh, I love you all.
Oh, look. Love you too. Sorry, I'll get that later. I'll get that. Anyway, that's my son. Well, this morning, you know, God is so good. Have you already been met this morning? I have. There's something about worshiping the Lord that opens our hearts. And so I do want to pray before we open up the Word of God. And because I really believe that God has something for you this morning. He has something for you. He loves you. He sees you. He knows where you are. And He wants to bring breakthrough in your life. So, Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you so much. We thank you for every person here. I just pray, God, that you would bless them with your presence. Father, you would bless them with revelation, and then that would lead to transformation. God, I pray that we would not leave here the same. Every time we're in your presence, God, I pray that you would do a strong and powerful work in our hearts. Set us free. Set us free, Lord. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor Jeff wants me to say welcome. He is in Yosemite right now. He did get there about 9 o'clock our time, 6 o'clock their time. They drove from 5 o'clock in the morning and got there. He wanted me to see their camping ground. So they're in tents, individuals. So Gary Hoyle is with him. So they have their little tent set up, and the fire was going last night. And as you know, one of his dreams, bucket list, is to climb Half Dome there. And he has been training relentlessly. And, you know, it's a lottery. No, he doesn't gamble, but it is a lottery to see if he got in, and he did. I got the email first, and I thought, oh, dear Lord, you're going to have to help me. I told him, I said, just don't, you know, because it's a 6-mile hike to get there, and then it takes 45 minutes, if no one is in your way, to climb up the mountain with cables. So, you know, I'm just like, honey, you need to come back to me. Okay, go up the mountain, come back down the mountain, and then come home to me. So, anyway, pray for him and pray for me. So, all right. And pray for Gary, too. I'm sorry, Mona. Of course, pray for Gary. Goodness, I don't want him not to be prayed for either. Thank you. I'm a little bit about me, aren't I, this morning? Sorry. All right. Listen, this is what we're talking about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We are trusting the Lord this morning. And you know how I am. I usually always speak on what I'm going through because that's what the Lord is doing in my heart, is trusting the Lord. Now, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, since I was about 6 years old. I've always loved the Lord and I've always served God. But you know, there are different levels of trust. I really believe that. My birthday is Sunday. And I always mention my age every time I preach. I don't know why I do that, but I'm 53. And I still struggle with trusting the Lord in certain ways. I'm like, I don't understand this. You're faithful. You've been faithful to me. Why do I still struggle? Well, what does the Bible talk about? Well, first of all, let's talk about trust. What is trust? The definition of trust means... All right, it means to rely upon or place confidence in someone or something. Where do you place your confidence? Now, if you've been in church a long time like me, it's always Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is, the answer is always Jesus, right? I mean, that's what we know. And that is sincere and that is true. But do you walk it out? See, when things are going really well, I do really well at trusting Jesus. I mean, blue skies, sunshine, everything's going my way. I trust Jesus. Woohoo! Everything is right. What about when things don't go your way? What about when hard things happen? Do you trust the Lord then? Do you trust God? Where do you put your confidence? How about finances? People put their confidence in finances all the time. How about in your relationship? How about in your own ability?
Well, when you're young, you don't really think about it physically a lot of times. You're like, I got the strength, I can do this. But when you get older, guess what? You don't have the strength or the what you used to, the stamina, you know? So where do we put our confidence? Do we put it in Jesus? What does that look like even? Like, what does that look like? What? I'm going to tell you a story. You know, I always have a story. Now, I told you this story about 4 years ago, but I felt prompted to tell you again. So 4 years ago, my husband and I went to Virginia, which we always do every year, because Foursquare has a retreat center type of thing, and we stay there for as being pastors. So this particular year, and I don't have a picture, probably because I don't want to cause a lot more trauma to my kids, but we decided to go kayaking, because kayaking's fun, right? At least we thought it was. So we had to get in two kayaks, me and my son, and my husband and my daughter, my younger daughter, who 4 years ago, she's 17 now, so do the math. And so we decided to go kayaking. It was a beautiful day, nice and warm, and they told us, they said, listen, this is a very minor rapid. Do not ever believe it. When they say minor rapids, don't. No, don't even go there. Well, they said, oh, you won't, it'll be no problem. This is very easy. Okay, but there might be one small area that you may have a problem. I was like, oh, yeah. See, that's me. I'm minimizing. Sure, barely listening, you know. So we have a great time. Start out, we're kayaking, however that is, you know. Having a great time. We stop, we swim. I think there's a rope. We swing on that. I attempt. It's sad, but anyway. My son attempts and does well. So we're having a good time, and all of a sudden it hits us. It's the small rapids. And they had said to us, now you need to look for a point, you know, where the water comes together, and then you just go right through. Well, my husband and my daughter went right through. I'm like, yes. We were right behind him. Did Tracy go right through? Oh, no. No. We do it. I'm telling myself, come on, son, we can do it. And then we get stuck right in the rock. I mean, we are wedged in the rock sideways. Rapids going everywhere. It's so strong. I can't. My husband and my daughter are like, way out. They're like, I can't even see them. They're gone. I'm like, oh. So we're not far from shore on this side, but on this side, pretty far. Couldn't really make it. And so we got to where we could get out, and we tried really hard. But when you've got those rapids going right over that kayak, you can't move it. I mean, it is wedged. And the problem was, every time I took a step from the kayak, my foot would get lodged into a rock. And because the rapids were going so fast, it really scared me. Like, I would go and try to get to the other side, and I would stumble and fall. And it just really frightened me. And my son was not frightened at all, but I would just, it frightened me, it really paralyzed me with fear. If you've ever been paralyzed with fear, it's not a good thing. And so I was trying to get to the shore, and he was like, Mom, we can do this. So he grabbed my arm, and he got me to the shore. I was so happy that he got me to the shore. It was just really scary, but the problem was there was no way out. There was no way out. And so my husband turned around the kayak, had figured out we weren't there, turned around the kayak, was coming back down the river with my daughter, who, by the way, at that time, really afraid of thunderstorms, okay? She doesn't like them in the house, let alone out the house, okay? So here's what's happening. My husband is trying to get to me. He leaves the kayak on the other side, and this does have something to do with trust, by the way. Leaves the kayak on the other side. He gets out. Eliza doesn't quite know what's going on. Okay, so, and she's not a great swimmer, by the way. She is now, but wasn't at that time. So she's on the other side. He's like, okay, you need to stay right here. I'm going to go get Mom. Okay, he's on the other side. I'm over here. Well, my son is like, Mom, I'm going to go to the other side. I'm like, wait. And he jumps in and swims off, right, in the rapids and everything. I'm like, and about that time, if that isn't bad, it opens up. And there are sheets of rain, just thunderstorm, claps of thunder, lightning. I'm like, really, God? Really, God? Seriously? Now Jeff is coming. He sees me. He's coming. I can't hear him. He's yelling, or, you know, whatever. I'm like, what? We can't hear each other. We can't hear because the thunder and the light, we can't hardly see. Eliza is petrified by herself. I don't even know where my son is. I think maybe he drowned. I don't know what happened. I'm like totally hysterical. Like I'm crying, I'm praying. And my husband is trying to come and get me. So he's slipping on the rocks and it's taking a while. And I'm like, God, here's what I need you to do. I need you to stop the rain. I need the lightning to stop. And I need, the company needs to come with a big giant kayak and pick us up. And then take us to Glory Land, you know, to the place. And I'm never going to go kayaking ever again, right? So I laugh because this is a lot like our lives, isn't it? I'll tell you what happens. Because, you know, apparently I did get rescued because I am here, right? So, but this is a lot like life. We love and trust God when everything's going right. And all of a sudden, we take that wrong turn and we're wedged into a rock and we're like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden, lightning and thunder and all this stuff goes on and you don't feel heard and you feel all alone. Well, let me tell you what happened. So my husband gets to me and I'm mad, you know, because I need the kayak and I need the professionals, by the way. I love my husband, but I need a professional. I'm like, no, I need you to, yeah. So he comes over and he's like, tries to get the kayak. He can't get it out. By the way, that was an expensive kayak because we paid for that wonderful kayak. Comes over, he's talking to me, and he's like, okay, you ready to go? I'm like, what? No, we have to get in the river, and we're going to swim down the river because we've got to get to where it's, you know, it's calm. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not going to happen. No, because every time I go into the river, I twist my ankle. And I had got it in my mind that I was probably going to hit my head on a rock and, you know, break something. I mean, I had just gone there. I just went there just like that. And he was trying to, Tracy, it's going to be okay. I'm like, no, it's not. Where is the company? Like, where is the company? And of course, it did stop raining at this point. And my daughter is trying to get to us. By the way, my son did pop up out of the water and was now joined with my daughter. And they're trying to figure out if mom and dad are going to make it. You know, they're thinking we might die, seriously. And so they're calling 911, okay? On the other side of the river, they're calling 911. We don't know. So Jeff is trying to talk to this hysterical wife of his. Honey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm like, it's not what I want. I don't like this. I don't like this. And he's like, take my hand. Take my hand. And because I trusted him, I took his hand. And I screamed all the way down the river. It wasn't pretty. It was ugly. And the policeman who was standing, by the way, in the river could not swim. Hello? But he was there. I will tell you, by the way, as we were, you know, Jeff's like, just kick the rocks, honey. I don't care. I'm like screaming, holding his hand. I don't know if he even had, I don't think he could feel anything in his hand. You know, it's, and as we're, by the way, screaming down the river, you can hear the sirens. And I'm like, why is the sirens coming? I mean, so anyway, it was a traumatic experience for my children. And I laugh at that because so many times it's like us in our lives. And it's just not what we thought. It's even worse sometimes than what we thought. You know, I have to tell you, I had a before picture, which I just couldn't even show you all the picture. But then I thought it would have been hilarious to get an after picture. My kids were completely out in the van. They were sleeping the whole entire time. I mean, they were just totally exhausted. And I had bruises. I didn't break anything. I did have I think my foot was a little bloody and all that stuff, but it wasn't, you know, the Lord, it was rough. It was rough. Have you ever been through that in life? It's a little rough. It's just a little, you might be a little bloody sometimes. It's not what you thought. Well, how do we develop trust? How do you develop trust? How could I trust my husband? I didn't like the circumstances. I didn't like them. They were bad, not what I wanted. But he gave me his hand because I trusted him, and that's how it's developed in relationship. It develops in relationship. Well, first of all, let's talk about thank you, Proverbs. That's my main scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Interesting, heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge, or another version says, submit or yield to him, and he will direct your paths. So here's another way. Place your confidence in the Lord with all your heart, not mind, not reasoning, heart. What does that mean, relationship?
Trust is built in relationship. In relationship. So you can show the next slide. So I think this is really, this little girl, you can't see it. There's a rock right here. She jumps right into her arm, the arms of her dad. I want you to look at her face. This excitement, like my dad is going to catch me, not a hesitancy. Not a, I wonder if he's going to really be able to catch me. Total abandonment right here. But look at the dad's face. Totally excited. Totally excited. Delighted in his daughter who trusts him. This is trust. This is how it should be with us. Not in our own strength. Not in our own understanding. How many times in my life, see, in our own understanding keeps us paralyzed in fear. Oh, listen, I'd have been still on the other side of the lake, of the river. Oh, yeah, I'd have made a campground there. I'd have lived there. I'd have collected berries. I mean, whatever I needed to do to survive in this place of my understanding. So let me show you the next slide. Okay, it can also look like this. Now, very different, isn't it? She seems a little stiff, right? I'm not quite sure this guy's going to catch me. Where are you with your relationship with the Lord? Are you like this one or are you like the other one? Which one? Now, I will tell you, this one on this side looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. I will tell you, God is not that way. But we might think he's like that, don't we? Not sure you know what you're doing here, God. That was me on the river. Nah, I don't like this. You know what? I don't like your way. How many times are we like that? We just, I can't wait to get married. And then all of a sudden we get married and we're like, whoa, this is not what I thought it was going to be. There's good things too. I'm not saying that. I love my husband. We've been married almost 32 years, so hallelujah. Or I can't wait till I get that job and, you know, I move up in the company and, ooh, wow, I didn't know it was going to look like this. Wow, you know, I didn't know about life. I didn't know that, wow, things are hard, aren't they? And so a lot of times it can vary. We can have this kind of relationship with the Lord, and then we go into this relationship. What causes that? What causes that kind of relationship? Fear? I think it's always when we get back into our own thinking. We're not really putting our confidence in the Lord. We're leaning on our own understanding. Now, God, if you really loved me, this wouldn't have happened. So this is where I've been struggling. Doggone it. It seems like I take two or three steps and then I go back into struggling again. And I'm like this, and I'm like, yes, you love me, and it's wonderful. And then all of a sudden I get over here. I'm putting my confidence in my own thinking. So this, I have a ministry. I'm involved in Revelation Wellness, and they wanted to do a 21-day fast, a sugar fast. I'm like, yeah, sure. Sugar fast. We do a 21-day fast all the time. So let me just tell you where my heart was. Oh, yeah, no big deal. Yeah. And then they were like, yeah, there's going to be breakthrough, and we're going to encounter God. And I was like, eh. I don't know about that. Right here. That's my relationship. Go back. Right here. This is a relationship. This is where I was, and I didn't realize it. Now you can go back to the slide, please. That's good. So temptation is about relationship, not about self-control. Everything is about relationship with Christ. If you're struggling with pride, like I was, if you're struggling with anger, like I was getting very impatient. I was really irritable. My husband, which, you know, they usually, the kids and the husband are the ones, you know, at home that really see it. My husband, in his very nice way, honey, are you okay? You seem a little irritable. I'm like, I'm not irritable. I mean, you know, there you go. So, yeah, pretty irritable. Indicators for me that it isn't about self-control. It isn't about reading your Bible more and more and more, which I love the Bible. And yes, we need to read the Bible. It isn't about just showing up at church every single Sunday. And yes, we need to do that. It's about relationship with Christ. It's about, have you sat with him and connected to him? Have you poured out your heart to him? See, I was just going through the motion, which I'm really good at. I'm really good at going through motions. I was raised in the church. I've been a pastor's wife for how many years? 20 years? I don't know. I was born a pastor's wife. Anyway, 26 years, yeah. So I can do that really well.
I can go through the, you know what I love about the Lord? He won't let me.
He gets my husband going, are you okay?
I'm like, I'm fine.
He gets my kids going, Mom, are you all right? And then he puts me in a 21-day fast that I agreed to do without realizing that it was about you can't have fruit and you can't have grains. I'm like, seriously, I can do without sugar, but really, grains and fruit? That's a little much.
And then I can't even have my dairy coffee. I want my creamer. I got to use coconut cream. You know, and I'm just like, that's not that big of a deal. Why am I so irritable? Where's my relationship with Christ? Where is that? Where is that? That's an indicator that I'm not in with that one. I'm not in this in love relationship with God. I'm just doing the other. And I'm stiff and I'm following through the motions. And the first devotion of this 21-day fast hit me right in the heart. It's all about humility. What do you mean? I'm very humble. No, I'm not. I'm so full of pride. That's my problem. And I cried. Because I cry a lot. I just have to. Because the Lord is dealing with me. Thank the Lord. He is good. He doesn't settle for going through the motions. It's kind of like your husband. When you know when you're busy, you go through life, you're just getting things done, but you're not really connecting. It's easier, isn't it, to believe lies about them, about each other, if you haven't really connected. Yeah, that's what was happening to me. I didn't realize it, but there was this lie that I was believing about the Lord. That said, how many times have you fasted? And I have a daughter, my oldest daughter is not with the Lord. She has not been serving God almost 5 years. Hardest thing of my life. Hardest thing. Bad decisions, hardest thing. And I have still have a relationship with her. It's the hardest thing. She's been out of my house for almost 5 years and she is just running like the wind. And I just thought, I fasted, I prayed, I homeschooled her, I did all this stuff. And here's the lie. You don't matter. You don't matter. You don't matter. Just go through the motions because your heart doesn't really matter. That is a lie. It's a lie. And I will tell you something that God brought me back to is our relationship with Christ. It is about a relationship. So we're going to go into the Bible. Let's talk about someone else in the Bible that had a relationship with Christ. And I love him. Simon Peter. Love him. And I'm going to paraphrase some of this because I'm going to use quite a bit of scripture here. But some of it I've got on the screen for you all so you could see it. So here we go. Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, the one that walked on the water. I mean, he was in. You know, he made a lot of mistakes, but you got to give it to him. He didn't hold back. He was in. He loved Jesus, right? So, you know, if you remember, they thought, well, Jesus is a Messiah. So this is how, and they've been taught all their life, this is how life works. So he's the Messiah. He's going to take over. He's going to throw out these Romans, and we're going to set up a kingdom. That's what they thought. And then he died. He didn't just die. He was crucified. He was tortured. He was spit on. Everything for 3.5 years, they lived with him. They loved him. He knew he was a Messiah. 3.5 years they walked with Jesus. And now he died and it's just unbelievable for him, right? So this, where we're picking up, is that Jesus was crucified and resurrected. He had already appeared to them twice. Okay, so, but I want you to remember what happened with Peter, right? He was going on about he was going to die for Christ, right? Remember with all the disciples, he was talking about that. And Jesus so much and how he knows us in our relationship. I really believe with love, he said to Peter, before the rooster crows 3 times, you're going to deny that you even know me. He knew him better than he knew himself. That's relationship. He didn't go, hey, you know, you're whatever about this. He just said, but I've prayed for you. And then when you're restored, I want you to strengthen your brethren. See, Jesus knows us. He knows us in our weakness. He knows us when we're screaming down the river and we're getting our bottoms hit with the rocks and we're bleeding all over the place and we're just not pretty. Or manly. He still loves us. So Peter, this had all happened. I mean, Peter had denied, and who did he deny? He denied him from a servant girl. He was intimidated by a servant girl. You know, I mean, he couldn't even, to a servant girl. Three times. Yes, there was a crowd, but come on. You know? And everybody left Jesus. They all abandoned him. But he denied him and abandoned him. Okay? So we're picking up on John 21:3, where Jesus had appeared to them two times already. And this is what Peter said. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And then they said, "Well, we're going to go with you." And they went out and they got in the boat. And that night they caught nothing. And that's something about life. We get so disillusioned when things don't go our way. What happens? We get busy doing the thing we feel like we're good at. We can go back and do the things we did before, because at least there was some kind of value in that. You know, if your life falls apart, you're like, well, at least I'm good at this over here, and then you do that, and at least I'm good over here, and then we just settle, and we go into hiding because of shame in our own lives, and we're like, and we hide. We just do. It's just the way that we are. We hide from the Lord. I mean, he's appeared to everybody already, and he appeared to Peter. But look what I did. I denied him. Here I am saying he's the Son of God, and then I go and deny him. What? To a servant girl? What am I thinking? I can't stand up to a king, let alone a servant girl. What? So he's out fishing. I think it's interesting. This is so many times our life. We do what we do, and then we get nothing. Because when you've been with the Son of God, he's the one that fills you with everything. He's the one that makes your life count, right? But we go back, we settle. This is safer. This makes me feel better. Where are we living? Trusting the Lord? Or in our own, leaning on our own understanding? Leaning on our own understanding. We're not trusting the Lord. We're leaning on our understanding. The relationship I was talking about, second one. The stiff one. I don't know. I make a lot of mistakes. I didn't read my Bible today. I cut somebody off. I yelled at somebody. You know, what? I yelled at my sister. I kicked the dog. I don't know. What is it that you feel, that you feel that God is not going to be pleased with you because you're not perfect? Because you've made a lot of mistakes, because you didn't do what you think you should do. See, that's not about relationship. See, go back to the picture, if you don't mind, to the little girl and the two pictures for me. Look at her. She is not going, you know what, I didn't read my Bible. Woo! I mean, you don't do that. I didn't read my Bible today. I didn't do good enough today. I didn't pray for an hour today. Oh, I prayed for 2 minutes today. All I prayed was help me today. You know, this one is relationship. This is relationship. This is I love you, you love me, we love one another. It's not based on good works or good enough but see, we live in that so often. We lean on understanding, and that's the way we try to relate to God. He's like, what are you doing? I mean, what if you had a little baby? And a lot of them, we do, we have little ones. And they're like, you know, Mom, I clean my room and I deserve to eat now. You know, I mean, they just, mine didn't do that. They're like, hey, I'm hungry, I need to eat. I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, that's the kind of thing, they're like, hey, I love you. And I'm like, I didn't go, hey, you weren't very nice to your sister. I'm not sure I'm going to hug you today. But we think God is that way. We think God is that way. God, I don't know if he's going to really catch me or not. I don't know if he's going to hear my prayer. I don't know if he really loves me still. A lot like Peter, going to go out fishing. And we strive. And then we're like, nothing's happening. Well, yeah. Because we're living in our own flesh and our own understanding. So what happens? Let's go to our next verse here. I love this. Okay, 21 verse 4 now. And as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. He knows where you are. He's standing on your shore. He's just waiting for you. And what's he got? He's got dinner. Got breakfast, actually. It's breakfast. I love that about him. Come on and sit and eat. Let's sit down. That's the kind of relationship he had with them before, right? They they tore the bread. They sat down together. They were eye to eye. They talked to each other. You know, who was crucified, and he makes a table for Peter too. Not just for the other ones, but for Peter too. And you know what I love? He says, hey, children. I'm going to paraphrase this, but he does say children. Have you caught anything? And they're like, no. They don't even recognize it's Jesus. You know, that's kind of how we are. No, we didn't catch anything. And, my timer's going off. We didn't catch anything. And he says, put your nets on the other side. Just see, even in the midst of us running and hiding, he comes for us. And then he does a miracle. Because it's not based on us and our faithfulness and the way that we do things. It's based on his goodness and who he is. And he loves us. Abandonment. Loves us. We don't even know or can understand how much he loves us. You have no idea. I have no idea. We think we know because we're very finite. 2 + 2 = 4. If I do this, this, and this, I get this. God's like, that's not even my, that we don't even work that way here. Just come here. Let me give you a hug. So he makes dinner for him, breakfast for him. Depends on your time. No, it's breakfast. Okay. So he makes breakfast for him. Okay. And then, let me go back. Look at my scripture here. Okay. So he makes breakfast for him. And they come in, and they once they see that the net is full of fish, and by the way, this story, the nets don't break. I thought that was interesting. They recognize it's Jesus, and they come to shore, and they're sitting with him, and they're eating with him. And I wonder about the discussion. I wonder if it was really quiet. You know when it's awkward? Awkward silence. I don't think it was ever awkward silence with him. But I think the disciples were like, don't know about this. Is he going to scold us? Is he going to tell us we're not good disciples and like oust us and look for more? Because I would. No. So they had finished eating, and Jesus says to Simon Peter, okay, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to sit eye to eye. We've already eaten. We've laughed. And now we're going to get down to business. This is what Jesus always does. He's not going to let us sit and go through the motions. He's never, ever been that way. He will get down. He always says it gets down to right where the heart is. And he says to Simon, Simon, son of John, which is interesting. He used the word Simon instead of Peter. Have you ever thought about that? Some people think it's because, well, he was, you know, acting like Simon. And so Jesus is, I think Jesus is saying, I loved you even when you were Simon. I saw you when you were Simon. The reed. Blow to and fro. That doesn't mean you're not going to be the rock. That doesn't mean there's no hope. He's so good. So he says to him, Simon, son of John, here's the relationship. Do you love me more than these? This is what Jesus said to me the other day, and I was struggling. He said, Tracy, do you love me? Do you love me even if it's going to take longer to save Hannah than you thought? Do you love me when your life doesn't turn out the way you thought it would? It all boils down to relationship. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than all these things? And he was talking about the disciples, but I'm talking about life and about living it. Do you love me? It always boils down to relationship between you and God, you and Jesus. But God, what about this? Yeah, do you love me? But God, what about... It's not about your own reasoning. It's about where are you going to put your confidence in the relationship with Christ, in the relationship with Christ. And then he asked him again. And Peter, Simon says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, then feed my lambs. Do what I've called you to do. Do you remember when he first called Peter? He first called him out of the water. He first called him. And he's saying again, even though you have failed, even though you've made a lot of mistakes, the call on your life is still secure. Who I've called you to be is still set. It doesn't depend on your ability or you being right or wrong. It's me, and I've called it you. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? We're going to get real here. He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, then tend my sheep. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep. It's not always about us.
I'm like, what? It should be, right? I mean, it should be about me. It should be about my happiness and my life.
It's about him. It's about his kingdom. He's working and moving when I don't even know. And my daughter will get saved. It's in his timing and his way. So he said a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Three times. And you know, in the Bible, when things are repeated several times, he wants you to understand what's going on. It isn't about 2 + 2 = 4. It's about God's way and his kingdom. And it comes from a relationship. Can we trust the Lord? Yes, absolutely. But it has to be in his way, and it has to be out of relationship. So what do we do? I've got about 10 more minutes. Yep. So what do we do when we're struggling with trust? What do we do? I like practical things. So keep in mind, it's about relationship. It's about relationship. Number one, you don't lean on your understanding. See that dog? That's what happens. We lean on other people, that's a problem. We go sideways and we cause other people to go sideways, right? Things just do not go and they do not work out when we're leaning on our own understanding. We're not putting and placing our trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your understanding. So the first, when you're like, God, what is this about? What is happening? I know you'd appreciate that, Lena. Thank you for laughing. I really appreciate that. So when something happens in your life and you're like, I don't know what to do. And the enemy comes, because what's he do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Anything he can. Promises, he brings discouragement, he brings disunity and hardship. And don't lean on your own understanding. Wait a minute. Nope, I'm not doing this. I'm going to put my confidence in God. How do we do that? Again, remember, it goes back to relationship. So if you're struggling anyway with this, and you're going, I don't know how to do this, go back to your relationship. Where are you? Are you the stiff trying to make God happy so maybe he'll hold you? Or are you the other one? Remember, temptation is not about self-control. It's always about relationship. So if you're being tempted, go back to your relationship with Christ. Where am I? So are you leaning on your own understanding? Number two, what do? You run to God. Run to God. Don't go on your understanding. Run to the Lord. Run to him. He's right there. And then at mercy and 4:16, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Spend time with God in connection. Don't just check off boxes. I don't know what that looks like for you. When I was preparing for this sermon, the Lord said, I'm like, okay, God, you're going to laugh. I sit in my bathroom. My notes are everywhere. I've got my phone. I've got my pencil. My husband's like, Tracy, you don't type. No, I'm a tactile person. I have to write it, erase it, because that's how I prepare. And then by the time I'm finished, I already have it in my heart. But the Lord said, I want you to go for a walk with me. I'm like, God, I got a lot to do. He said, let's go for a walk. You know why? Because he knows me. I love to walk. And he's like, it's a beautiful day. It's cooler out right now. Let's walk. I'm like, all right. What do you got to show me? He's like, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. That's what. Did I have some sort of revelation at that point? No, but I got some exercise in, and guess what? I wasn't as stressed out. He knows me because I have a relationship with him. So let's run to God. Spend time with him and connect with him. I was connecting with him, walking. I connect him with worship. And I can connect, of course, through reading of the word as well. But sometimes if I've sat too long and I'm really stressed out, I need to walk. And then I can hear the Lord a little better. That's just how I am. And he knows that about me. So run to the Lord, however that looks for you. I also do silence and solitude. I sit before the Lord also, which is kind of funny. Movement. And then I sit with him. I set my little timer and we sit together. I practice those things on a regular basis. That's how I connect with the Lord. And he brings breakthrough. Number three, remember God's character. Lamentations 3:21, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. actively engage your mind. When you're struggling with trust in the Lord, come back to relationship, engage your mind. Speak the truth. I am not alone. I am not alone. God, you are with me. You are faithful to your word. I am not alone. For you are for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Who is God? He loves us and he's our Father. Start speaking those things out. Remember God's character. Number four, you know what? God, he's brought me through depression. Do I still struggle at times with being down? Yeah, but he brought me through depression. God has healed my heart. I used to be the woman who hid in the closet every time I was overwhelmed. I would isolate myself because I felt like I had to be something for everybody else. And I felt like I was all alone. So I was the one when I was first married, because I had to be pastor's wife and they're perfect. You know, they're perfect. I don't know why there's a square there, but anyway. They're well-defined. Anyway, and so I'd sit in the closet and cry because I felt like I was a failure most of the time. And I felt lonely because I didn't know how to connect with anybody. And I thought I always had to be perfect. And God set me free. He set me free. So you remember those things. How is God, what has God done in your life? That helps you to trust him. Helps you to put your confidence in him. Okay, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. If he did it for you, he'll do it for me. If he did it for Moses, he'll do it for me. You know, if he set somebody free, he'll do it for you. God is the same. And then number five, give thanks to God in faith. Worship the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords for his steadfast love endures forever. Spend time in worship. In my lowest times. See, a lot of times people think worship is all about, I'm good with God, and so I'm worshiping. God talks about to bring a sacrifice of praise. In the hardest moments in my life, it has been the hardest time to raise my hands to the Lord and worship. And I have cried many tears because I have been so discouraged at times. But it isn't about me, and it's not about my circumstance. It's about the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And as I'm doing that, I'm bringing a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. And God sets me free in that. Sets me free. And sometimes it takes me a little bit because then I kind of have to move a little bit, you know. It's really hard. And then God sets me free. And I'm like, I need a jumpy song now, you know. I need Jesus in a jumpy song. So Jesus loves jumpy songs too. He does. He's really good about that. He loves you this morning. Not about duty. So I want to encourage you to trust the Lord with all your heart. And it starts with a relationship. Not about duty. Not about just checking off a list. It's about you and him face to face. Do you love me? Do you love me? Because he absolutely loves you. He comes and he stands on your shore. And he makes you dinner. Come sit down with me. Let's talk. Do you love me? And then I usually cry. Because he warms my heart.